This is DJ Bennett for the Kill Radio News Team, and this is a program that I call a news show for science and reason, because I believe in science. So I want to talk briefly about denialism again, because it's constantly coming up, no matter what the subject. For instance, the recent attempt by the Republicans to deny that there is something called a war on women. Now, what that basically means is that Republicans across the country have been trying to pass bills that restrict women's rights to medical care regarding birth control. And yes, that does include abortions. Now, there are hardcore right-to-lifers who think there is no justification ever for an abortion. Yet, what happens when so many women naturally miscarry? That's God's abortion, isn't it? It happens all the time. A large percentage of pregnancies end in miscarriage. So God seems to be behind abortion sometimes, too. So these people who want to restrict access to abortion under any circumstances, including in the case of rape or incest, are not really showing any kind of progression. And it's a form of denialism. But the war on women is larger than that. And of course, the language, the war on something, that does come from the right. The war on terror is just as silly an idea. So yes, that is a baiting kind of term, war on women. But when the Republicans try to pass 1,100 bills in 2011 and so far something like 900 in 2012 that have to do with restricting access to birth control, abortion rights, health care, shutting down Planned Parenthood, places like that, and this is done 99% by men who have congressional hearings where only men speak about women's health care. Yeah, I think that does come down to a war on women by Republicans. But the Republicans, in their fits of denial, say that that's an invention by Democrats. Well, it's their own fault, Republicans, because they're the ones trying to pass it. There are still a lot of people who deny that HIV causes AIDS. Now, I guess you could say that back in the 80s, it was reasonable to say that this is possibly a false conclusion. It was reasonable back then, but in the last 30 years, the studies are so absolutely clear. There are, sadly, lots of cases of people who have AIDS who deny that they got AIDS through HIV. Over time, these people die. Famously, there was a woman who for 11 years took antiretrovirals. She maintained life, but she said it made her feel bad. So she quit taking her anti-HIV meds. Her doctor said, "You're going to die for doing this." And she says, "Well, I feel fine." 4 years later, she was dead. Now, over time, most of the HIV deniers who have AIDS are simply going to die. It's just a fact. But science is very specific. Very specific. Whereas 20 years ago, there were still questions, today we can state with very reasonable assurance that HIV was not concocted in a laboratory by scientists out to destroy the black community, as some of the conspiracy theories have stated, but that in fact it was something that transferred from a chimpanzee simian immunodeficiency virus to humans sometime between 1890 and 1930 in the country of Cameroon in West Africa. We know the specific chimpanzee population that it came from. How did it transfer? Well, in fact, in Cameroon and the Congo and some of these countries, chimpanzees are eaten. They are butchered. They are captured and butchered. Say a chimpanzee has this simian immunodeficiency virus. Some blood gets into the blood of a person doing the butchering. It passes on. It took a long time for this to take effect. It wasn't until the 80s that we were even aware that HIV existed. Originally, it was called GRID as a gay-related immunodeficiency virus. But very quickly, it was realized that it was not alone in the gay community, that it actually was in all communities. But there are deniers. There's a podcast that I was listening to that was going on and on about denying that HIV had any effect in AIDS. This person had Peter Douchebag, the scumbag scientist who has made the most money off of declaring that HIV does not cause AIDS. I wrote to this podcast and said, you realize that you are actually giving advice to people to stop taking their meds. You are killing them. The host of the program wrote me back and said he would sue me for slander for saying this. So I wrote him back and said, please go ahead. I'd like you to prove in court that HIV does not cause AIDS. I'd like to see that. Of course, he never wrote back again because there's nothing there. Denialism comes in many, many forms. And HIV denialism, Republican denialism of a war on women, or global warming denialism, or evolution denialism, or just reality denialism. It happens all the time, and it's sad because it's not necessary. All right, this is the Weekly News in Review. This was posted by Anthony Lydgate on the 1st of May, May Day 2012, and it does concern the news of the previous week. Imprisoned Chinese lawyer and human rights activist Chen Guangcheng escaped house arrest in Shandong province and fled to Beijing, where he was reportedly being harbored at the American embassy on the eve of an official visit by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Chen, who is known for exposing forced abortions and sterilizations in rural China, had remained in bed for weeks in order to convince guards of his frailty, then scaled the wall surrounding his home in Dongshigu. He's blind, said dissident Chinese artist Ai Weiwei, so the night to him is nothing. Several of Chen's accomplices, including a woman who drove him the 300 miles to the capital, have since disappeared. It's hard to call this a victory if everyone involved in his escape ends up detained, arrested, and imprisoned, said a researcher from Human Rights Watch. Charles Taylor, the former president of Liberia, was convicted by an international tribunal in The Hague of aiding and abetting crimes against humanity, including murder, sexual enslavement, and the conscription of child soldiers, in conjunction with his support for the rebel Revolutionary United Front in Sierra Leone. He once told Sierra Leoneans that we are going to taste the bitterness of war, so Charles Taylor should taste the bitterness of the law, said one survivor of an RUF campaign. They could jail him for 100 years, said another, and it wouldn't make a difference. Pakistan deported Osama bin Laden's 3 widows and 11 of his children and grandchildren to Saudi Arabia. The United States agreed to transfer 9,000 Marines out of Okinawa. And Mitt Romney won 5 more Republican primaries, leaving him 297 delegates shy of the total he needs to win the party's presidential nomination. Maybe Ron Paul can beat him. I can say with confidence and gratitude, said the arrogant Romney in New Hampshire, that you have given me a great honor and solemn responsibility. Meanwhile, the Etch-a-Sketch page will be lifted, and now Romney will attempt to become a Massachusetts moderate again, disappointing most Republicans who are too conservative to understand Romney. Tens of thousands of people gathered in Oslo's Youngstorget Square to heckle Anders Behring Breivik by singing Children of the Rainbow, a Norwegian translation of Pete Seeger's Rainbow Race, which Breivik had cited as an example of cultural Marxism in recent court testimony about the massacre he carried out last summer on Utøya Island. The Supreme Command of the North Korean People's Army threatened to reduce all rat-like groups to ashes in 3 or 4 minutes or in much shorter time. The Dalai Lama said he loved George W. Bush as a human being, and Vice President Joe Biden touted President Barack Obama's robust foreign policy to a crowd of New York University students. "This guy's got a backbone like a ramrod," said Biden. For real. For real. William Lawless Pace, a former cemetery custodian who lived for 94 and a half years with a bullet in his head, died at the age of 103. And officials in Old Lyme, Connecticut, hunted a goose with an arrow through its cheek. Poor baby. Officials in New York cracked down on stagnant birdbath water and the illegal trade in black bear gallbladders. "We have some people come in to buy 20 galls or more, and obviously they're a dealer," said an upstate taxidermist. "We also have Ma and Pa come up, and they'll buy 2 galls. They're obviously for their own consumption." A fishery commissioner in Michigan mailed 2 pounds of frozen Lake Huron lamprey to the English city of Gloucester, where, pursuant to medieval tradition, the eel-like parasite will be stewed in vinegar, cinnamon, and its own blood, baked into an ornately decorated tall crust, and presented to Queen Elizabeth II in honor of her diamond jubilee. Yuck. Conservationists pointed out that the lamprey, which is considered invasive in the Great Lakes region, is a protected species in Gloucester's River Severn. "It would be like us making a pie out of piping plover," said the Michigan commissioner. Scientists determined that zebrafish are more sociable when given mescaline. So are most human beings. That male spotted bowerbirds who groom their bush tomatoes have more sex. And that pig mucus can be used to enhance the antiviral properties of commercial genital lubricants. The National Endowment for the Arts earmarked $40,000 for the development of a video game based on Henry David Thoreau's Walden. An Idaho man was arrested for turning an assault rifle on his neighbor and demanding that he moonwalk. And officials in Kyrgyzstan snuffed the country's eternal flame because of an unpaid gas bill. Astrophysicists found that slow-moving giant snowballs punch glittering holes through Saturn's outmost ring, and that the Sombrero Galaxy has both a disk and a bulge. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, who is serving 14 years in federal prison, was nearing the end of a 3-month stint washing dishes, after which he expected to teach other inmates about literature or Greek mythology. "He knows a great deal about Shakespeare," said one of Blagojevich's friends. Donald Trump flew to Scotland to testify against the construction of an offshore wind farm. "I'm an expert in tourism. I have won many, many awards," said Trump. "You're a liar," shouted a protester. "You destroy people's lives in Aberdeenshire." Investigators in the Scottish village of Heck determined that an otter was likely responsible for a rash of koi thefts. And British designers lamented the rising popularity of high-end fashion that is marketed to kids but poorly suited to their bodies. "Children have big tummies," said one clothier, "and stand in funny ways." Well, you're not going to deny that that was the news, are you? This is DJ Bennett from the Kill Radio News team. Listen to my music program, The Chill Room, every Friday night here on killradio.org at 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I should be back next week with another episode of Halftime in America News, the news for science and reason, here on killradio.org. Maybe you'll listen too.